chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. Every year I try to, leading the Lord, to develop a sermon as we begin Vacation Bible School to go along with the theme and the message of what we're wanting to get across this week. And going to seek to try to do that this morning. As you see the decorations and looks like a cave, looks like a railroad track, some kind of mining train tracks down the middle of the aisle here. These look like mining cars, some dynamite. I might light that up here in a minute. I just want to make sure y'all awake and make sure y'all with me. But all these kinds of beautiful decorations, and they work really hard and looks really good, and I appreciate it so very much. And so I hope that you'll be a part of things this week. And let me say, I know that many of you are making great sacrifices to be here throughout this week. And I know God is going to bless you for that. God always says His Word will never return void. And anytime we give the Word of God, God's Word will find rest and the seed will be planted. And we pray that it will be planted in the hearts of boys and girls and even some moms and dads and grandparents and guardians this week that we'll have a chance to meet. But I know many of you that your work schedules and so forth prevent you from being here every night. I know that we got a good group of people who normally come on Wednesday night. And so here's what I'm asking for you to do for us this week. Those of you that have been in our Vacation Bible Schools in the past know that it's all about sharing the gospel. We have a lot of fun. There's singing new songs and some old songs and put them together. There's skits. Always look forward to what Monty does up here and look forward to seeing Jeannie trying to teach us songs that we've with the videos and the signs and all that kind of stuff and the motions, and that's a lot of fun. The Bible studies downstairs that Scott and Andy lead. Tremendous, and everybody has a part, whether it's games and especially the food. Amen. I mean, you know, you can't have Bible school without food, and so we're looking forward to all of that. Everybody has a part of that. But if you've been in our Vacation Bible Schools, you know that on Wednesday nights is the big night. That's why we do Chick-fil-A on Wednesdays. Brother Chuck said that's the night he wants to be a part of, because that is the night that everything comes together leading up to that. As we've been sharing the message and the stories of Christ and all that He's done for us, that on Wednesday night it is given a clear presentation of the gospel, Jesus' death, burial, His resurrection, and how that they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a dramatic part that's at the end of the program. That starts somewhere close to around just before 8 o'clock, I believe it is on our time frame, maybe a few minutes before. We try to get that started a little early each year. So I'm asking you that if you can't be here for any other night, I would love for this auditorium to be packed and filled with church members sliding into the back there and filling up from the back, because that's the way Baptists do, is fill up from the back. And I want you to come in a little bit before 8 o'clock, and I want you to be here and see this. You don't want to miss this, because you'll see a dramatic presentation of Jesus and His gospel message. But then we give a presentation and we share how they can have personal relationship with Christ. We give the plan of salvation, and that's the night we give the invitation and invite boys and girls to accept Christ. I'm looking in this audience this morning at some of those people who have accepted Christ at our Vacation Bible School. I'm sitting here looking at some of the ones who came forward at one of our invitations and was led to Christ and dealt with personally by one of our workers and prayed. I'm looking at them right now, and I see them sitting here in the audience, and I praise God for that. Sometimes there's 3, 4, 5, or 6. Sometimes there's 10, 12, or 14 or more that come and accept Christ. But you know what? Even if it's just one, it's all worth it. It's worth every bit of effort and all the time and money that's put into this week. So I want to challenge you. Make your plans. Be here Wednesday night. If you can't be here any other night, be here Wednesday night, okay? Be here. Get here before 8 o'clock, short before 8 o'clock. This is usually over around 8:30, so we'll try to finish up right on time. And then if you cannot be here, I mean, you just absolutely, you're working, you're out of town, you're just no way you can get here Wednesday night. Would you commit to pray from just before 8 o'clock till about 8:30 or so, would you be take that time and just pray that God would just fill this place with His Spirit, His working power, and His saving power on Wednesday night? And I'm telling you, even if it's just one, it's worth it. But boy, wouldn't it be great to have many boys and girls come to trust Christ as their Savior. And listen, here's what happens on Wednesday night. Many times those moms and dads and grandparents and guardians who get here a little early, they just come on in and slip in. By the time we get to the part about the invitation, and brother, I make sure they know I'm talking to them too. I let them know they can accept Christ, and we've seen that happen too. So I want you to be here and be a part of that. I enjoyed that a while ago. Watching Lil Harper do the Pledge of Allegiance and singing America the Beautiful, and her mom was sitting here on the front row kind of helping her along. It reminds me of a story that I had written down here. There was a little boy who forgot his lines in a Sunday school program, and his mom was sitting on the front row prompting him, saying word for word what he's supposed to say. She was gesturing, forming the words with her mouth silently, but it didn't seem to help. I mean, this boy's memory just went totally blank, you know. And you know what that's like. Finally, she leaned forward and she whispered, his next line says, "I am the light of the world." And so the child just beamed real quick. He stood up and says, "My mama's the light of the world." And, you know, kids, boy, they're something else, you know, and they just have a good time. So that's what it is. But it is that message I want you to share. I want you to stand as we honor God's word. John chapter 8 this morning. Just one verse is our text as we begin this message today. Jesus is the light of the world, folks, and that's the message this morning. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, as we gather here on this Sunday, as we prepare to begin Vacation Bible School, I pray, dear Father, that you'll do a great work in this church this week. I pray that the message of Jesus as the light of the world will be heard and understood clearly by boys and girls. Some may have never heard it before. Others may have heard it but didn't understand it. And there may be moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, maybe aunts and uncles or guardians who bring their children this week, and they will get to hear and see what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that you will begin, even in this service this morning, of working in this church and working among us as only you can. I pray, dear God, that we would have a passion and a burden to reach the children and the young people of this community. Lord, that we'll be willing to come on Wednesday night, if we can't come any other night. That we'll be willing to pray each and every day from now till then, Lord, that God, you would touch hearts and open them to the gospel message. But Lord, I know that there may be someone sitting here this morning who has never trusted you. There may be someone listening to this message on our website or iTunes later on. And I pray, dear Father, that if they need to be saved, that they need to accept you, Lord, they'll do that today. Lord, we live in a dark world. And the only hope we have is the light of Jesus Christ to shine. And I pray, Lord, that would take place. They would use us for your glory. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've asked Brother Joe to turn the lights off for just a moment as I begin this message. The window's already being darkened for our Vacation Bible School, and the setting of the cave up here, I just want to set the scene of this message and what Jesus has for us to know. Because we live in a very dark world today. And we saw that happen very vividly this week, of what happens when darkness begins to take over people's hearts and people's actions. You see, the first recorded words of God in the Bible was, "Let there be light." The original account of the creation reads that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 3, when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God created light. But before he created light, we read that there was darkness over the surface of the deep. You see, the absence of light is darkness. In the Bible, the main use of the word darkness is to contrast it with light. Light and darkness. Figuratively, in the Word of God, the word darkness is used as a symbol many times to refer to the moral depravity of man, the walk and the work of the wicked, the condition of the wicked soul, and then the destiny of the eternity of the wicked is referred many times by using the word darkness. The darkness that shrouded the early earth's surface was a literal darkness because it was the absence of natural light. But there's a deeper darkness that exists in this world, and that is a spiritual and moral darkness today. And it is the purpose of dispelling the moral darkness and the spiritual darkness as to why Jesus came and why he said, I am the light of the world. Light. That is what Jesus declared himself to be when he said, I am the light of the world. Jesus was not simply saying that I am a light or that I'm another light. He was not saying that he had the light or even that he is the way to the light. But he is declaring that he is the one and the only light of the world. Joe, you can turn the lights back on for us now. You see, before he created the sun and the moon and the stars, he was the light. Before he created the heavens and the earth, he was the light. Before he created fish and beasts of the field and the birds in the air, he was the light. Before he ever created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden, he was the light. And as the songwriter said, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shine in. The light of the world is Jesus. And what we need to proclaim today to a darkened, sick, desperate world is that there is only one hope. That hope is not in government. That hope is not in people. That hope is not in institutions. There is only one hope, and that is the light, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what is it about this light? What is it and what does it mean that Jesus said he is the light of the world? I want you to notice very quickly this morning some things that will help you and help us as we prepare for this week. Why do you do Vacation Bible School? Why do you take all the time and effort and do all the things? And I just frankly tell you that we figured out we might could save a lot of money on putting new windows in the church by just putting up pieces of plastic over them. It looks pretty good. But what is it that we go to all the effort of decorations, planning? Some of you will come straight from work, and you'll get your supper here at our church with what's being served every night. That's how you'll get your supper every night. There's some of you that will have to rearrange schedules. Some of you will have to go the extra mile to do the things that's necessary to be here and be a part of that. So what does it all mean? Are we doing this just so we can have 5 nights of fun and get together? Are we doing this just so that we can have something to do because it's on the calendar or just because we got money in the budget to spend to do this? No. We do this because Jesus is the light of the world. That is the theme this week with our cave quest of our Vacation Bible School. We want to project and proclaim that Jesus is the light of the world. And what does that mean? Notice number one. It means when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, we notice that his claim to be light. Notice his claim to be light. You see, Jesus didn't just make a statement without any evidence to back it up. When Jesus made this statement, his claim was verified by former prophecies of the Old Testament. Men like Isaiah, men like Daniel, men like Micah, men like others who proclaimed that one day they would come one who would be the light of the world. There were former prophecies that were fulfilled. His claim was also verified by fulfilled prophecies that were heard. When we read the accounts in Matthew and in Luke and in John, when Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves for your servants' sake. For God who said, let light so shine in the world like wool and white as snow, that it was this one man named Jesus who would fulfill all prophecies. But notice it was also verified by future prophecies. One day, this light is going to shine brighter than the sun has ever shined. When John stood on the Isle of Patmos and proclaimed what he saw that in that day in the New Jerusalem, he saw that in that day in the New Heaven, that there was no need for a sun because Jesus was the light, and that was all that was necessary. You see, his claim to be light was verified by prophecies, both former fulfilled and future. Jesus is the only one who can make those claims today. Our world is full of false prophets and false teachers and false pastors. Our world is full of false religions and false expectations. But there is only one who can stand and proclaim from eternity past until future present that he is the light of the world. And that is the one, Jesus Christ. He is the only hope that you have and that I have today. Notice number two. We see not only his claim to be light, but would you notice his credentials? Notice his credentials of being light. He was first visualized as light on a mountaintop. When we see the story of Christ's transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, he took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to the top of that mountain. And for just a few moments, Jesus was transfigured. That word means that he was literally transformed. And this Son of God, who was God in flesh, for just a few moments, the flesh was laid aside for just a few moments so that Peter, James, and John could see who Jesus really was. And as he stood there on that mountaintop, the Bible says that he was literally transfigured. In other words, he was as bright as the sun and as bright as the noonday. And he was shown to be the light of the world right in front of Peter, James, and John. And on that experience on that mountaintop, Moses, Elijah came down from heaven and fellowshipped and talked with Jesus for a few moments. And Peter and James and John just couldn't believe that they got to experience that mountaintop experience. You see, his credentials was he was visualized as light on a mountaintop. But then secondly, he was also visualized as light one day on the Damascus Road. Oh, there's no greater salvation conversion experience greater than and found in Scripture than that of the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor and killer of Christians, the one who had gone around and with the authority of both religion and government was putting people in jail for their faith, was putting people in jail because they followed this man Jesus. But one day in Acts chapter 8, on the Damascus Road, Paul was gloriously saved. And wherever he went, later on, as preaching the gospel, as the Apostle Paul, Paul couldn't help but tell about that conversion experience. And in Acts chapter 22, as he relates that conversion experience, and he tells about the light that came down, he makes very clear that the light that shone upon him and blinded him for 3 days there on that Damascus Road was none other than the light of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light. And our prayer today is that those who are living in darkness will see the light of Jesus Christ. We may not have a dramatic Damascus Road experience, but can I tell you one thing? Every conversion is just as dramatic as Saul of Tarsus had on the Damascus Road. Every time someone comes to faith in Christ, whether at the front of an altar, whether in their home, or whether on the road, that is a dramatic experience and a dramatic conversion. And it was Paul who preached that message, that Jesus is the light, and that light he had seen for himself personally. Oh, to God today that people would see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he was also visualized on the Isle of Patmos. When John began to describe what he saw, when he described this one whose hair was like wool and he was white as snow, and his eyes were like fire, and his feet were like brass, his voice as the sound of many waters. And because of the way he looked, John said he fell at his feet as though he were dead. It was the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that John saw. Now, John had seen him in flesh. John had seen him as the Messiah crucified. John had seen him after his glorious resurrection. John had stood on Mount of Olives and watched him ascend back into heaven. And John never thought he'd ever get to see him again until he got to heaven. But one day on the Isle of Patmos, as he was there for his faith and for preaching the gospel of Christ, as he was exiled to die a terrible death, it was on the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter 1 where he records that when he turned around, all he saw was the glorious light of his risen Savior who he knew and loved. And that light was one, and it gave him the message that we know now as the book of the Revelation. And John wrote it down for all of us to know what God has for us in the days ahead. You see, in these scriptures, we have the testimony of credible witnesses who saw Jesus Christ at different times, the mountaintop, the Damascus Road, and the Isle of Patmos, and he manifested himself as light. Therefore, we can say that in these scriptures, it verifies Jesus' claim that he is the light of the world. Thank God for that today. I'm glad to know that as I watch the news, and my heart is broken when I see the things that we have seen this week, things that I don't understand, things that I can't even begin to explain. I just pray, Lord, show your light to this darkened world. How do you stand and explain to families what we've seen? How do you explain to your young people who are, as you turn on the news and not sure what's being said, and then you find out what's being said? There's only one hope in this world, folks, and it's Jesus Christ. And by the way, the hope is not found in a denomination or a movement or a church or a building or a program or a preacher or a personality or some celebrity. It is only found with a personal relationship with the light of the world. That is the Son of God, amen. Jesus Christ. Makes me wonder what we're doing around sometimes. Does it take things like this for us to realize that Jesus is our only hope? Why weren't we sharing the gospel before? Why weren't we praying before? Why weren't we concerned before? It's amazing how that news outlets, when they began to report these tragedies, people who don't even before make any statements of religion or Christ or God or anything else, it's amazing how many times, and you've seen it, Brother Keith, they get up in front of a camera and tell me, said, pray for Dallas. Pray for the families. Pray for the situations. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? It's okay to have been praying last week as it is praying this week. It was okay last week to pray for them. It's okay this week to pray for them. Let's not let tragedy determine when we're going to stand for God. Let's stand for God now. Let's stand for God and tell about the light. But there's one more point about this, and I close this morning. This is where it comes down to us. If Jesus, as he claimed as the light, we see his claims, we see his credentials verified as the light of the world. But notice there's a very important thing we've got to learn this morning. Number three, the Bible tells us that the church is the light. Lord Jesus made a second startling statement about him being the light of the world. In John chapter 9, verse 5, he said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now that's very interesting. Because Jesus, not long after that, told him, I'm going to leave. I'm going to depart this world. Does that mean that after he departed, there's no longer light in the world? If Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and I'm going to leave this world, does that mean that we're going to be plunged into despair and darkness without any light to guide us? Absolutely not. For God does not leave himself without a witness. God's plan and program continued as Jesus would tell his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand and give it to light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You see, this saying where Jesus said, I am the light of the world, is the only one of those seven great I am statements that he made in the book of John that Jesus would also take and apply to his followers. Jesus didn't say that we were the bread. He didn't say we were the water. He didn't say we were the resurrection. But he did say that we as his followers are the light. What an amazing statement. That the same Jesus who said, I'm the light of the world, is the same Jesus that looks at us today and says, now you're the light of the world. You're the ones that's to take this light and to shine. When I look at that, I thought, wow. What a great statement. And I give you three words to help you understand that statement. First is our calling. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. That is our calling. Jesus said, I am the light. Then he said, you are the light. What an awesome promise. What an awesome privilege. But what a tremendous responsibility we have this morning. You know, it's easy for us just to go along with the darkness. It's easy for us to get on social media and just chime in with the darkness. Oh, but Jesus said, no, you're light. You're to shine. Your calling is that you are the light. John the Baptist, Jesus said of him in John chapter 5 that John the Baptist was a burning and shining light. Here's news for you. There's no shining without burning. So my question is, are you on fire for God this morning? Are you burning for God? Or are you more concerned about what's going on in the world and all your stuff? You got a calling. You also have a commission. Because he says, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so... That's your commission. Notice two arenas. There's a city on a hill. That's the public light. And then there's the house. That's the private light. You're supposed to be shining as a light when you're out on the job, when you're in your schools, when you're in your community, but you're also to shine that light when you're at home in privacy. And what God does with you, in the obvious, he is supposed to do in the obscure. What we shine forth in society, we also should shine forth in our family. We are to let our light shine, but then our conduct tells us that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's two things right here. Our work, that's the good works, and our worship, that's glorifying God. Our work, that's the good works. That's getting out and sharing the gospel. There's our worship. That's when we're glorifying God. Our work and our worship go together. We are to be what Christ was in relation to this world in darkness. He was light. We are the lights now. What an awesome assignment. The calling, the commission, the conduct is to bring glory to our Heavenly Father, not bring glory to us. We're not trying to build up an empire in our name. We're trying to build up the kingdom of God. The light that we have is not from ourselves. It's from God. Think about this for a moment. And make sure, science teacher, I get this right. When you go out at night and see the moon, and you see the moon, and we say that the moon is shining tonight, or the moon is bright tonight. In reality, the moon does not have any light. There is no light that shines out of the moon. Do you know why? And science teacher can back me up sitting here this morning. Do you know why you can see the moon shining at night? It's because it is in a position between you and the sun that the sun shines and the moon reflects the shining of the sun, so that whatever position we are in on the earth, whether it's a full moon, half moon, crescent moon, all of those kinds of things, what we see is a reflection of the sun that's shining. And when we see the moon, we see a moon in a dark world giving light in a dark world. It's not the light of the moon. It's the light of the sun. Listen, folks. We're the moon. We're shining in a dark world. We are not the source of the light. God is the source of the light. Jesus, the Son, is the source of the light. It is the reflection of His light upon us that shines into this dark world. Glory to God. Did I get it right, science teacher? Woo! I'm going to have a revival. Man, I'm telling you what's the truth. See, young people, pay attention in science class. It'll help you. It'll help you. You see, that is what God's called us to do, is to be a reflection of the sun in this darkened world and to let ourselves shine. But here's what happens. Make sure I'm right, science teacher. If there's anything that gets in the way, let's say the earth completely gets in the way between the sun and the moon, all of a sudden, you don't see any moon shining. We call it an eclipse of some sort. And at that point, when the earth is between the sun and the moon, people who are on the earth look and say, where'd the moon go? There's no shining moon. Why? Because something has come between the sun and the moon. You know why many people are not shining tonight? It's because they've allowed something to come between them and the sun. They've gotten something in the middle between the sun and themselves, and they can no longer shine. There's sin. There's bitterness. There's anger. There's unforgiveness. There's all these things that cause us not to shine. But if we're going to fulfill God's purpose in our lives, we've got to get rid of everything that will block the sun from shining on us so that we can be the light in this darkened world. There's a song I found this week. Jeannie, I don't know this song, but I found it in her hymn book. We're not going to sing this because we don't know it, all right? I'm not going to do that to you or to her. But I want you to look at the words on page 431 of your hymnal. And then in just a minute, Jeannie's going to come and lead us in a song that we do know about sending the light. We'll do that in just a second. But on page 431 is a song entitled Shine, Jesus, Shine. Vicki, do you know that song? Our pianist knows that song. We've got a good step ahead. Do you know that song? Our music director knows that song, but the pastor doesn't know the song. And so the pastor's not going to attempt to lead you to sing that song. But I want you to look at the words as printed here as I conclude this message. You notice there's a verse of scripture under the title of the song. You see that? Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? Notice this, and I close. The words of this song goes like this. Lord, the light of your love is shining. In the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. And then the second verse. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me, shine on me. Then the last verse says this. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness. Ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me. And the verse goes like this. There's two, follow me here. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Oh, what a powerful words of a song that I do not know. Until this week, I learned it. But here's something else I discovered this morning. I was finishing up and making final preparations, but don't close that book yet because I want to show you something. As I was making final preparations here and I was getting ready, I wanted to share the words of this song. Would you notice what is on page 432 right under it? Did you see what's under in our book? The next song is, say it with me, Revive Us, O Lord. And I looked at that and I said, that's it. We can't have genuine revival until we first let Jesus shine through us. We cannot reach this world for Christ and see souls saved until God has full reign and full glory and full shining in all of our lives. Oh, to God today, may He receive all the glory. Revive us, O Lord. Shine, Jesus, shine. Would you bow with me in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. And we're going to sing a song about that I hope most of you do know. It's called Send the Light. That is exactly what we need to do today.
is to send the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There may be someone here saying, Pastor, I've never received Jesus as my Savior. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've been in church. I've attended church. I may have joined to somebody's church or took somebody's class. The truth of the matter is, Jesus is not shining in my life because I've never accepted Him as Savior. You see, the most important decision you can make this morning is to turn it all over to God and give it to Him. Our deacons will be here at the front in just a moment. They'll take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. If you'll just step out, you take the first step and God will take the rest of them with you. If you'll just do it this morning. I invite you to do it as when we begin to sing. But maybe there's someone here to say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. I'm a member of this church or maybe some other church. But God is not shining in my life. Jesus is not bright in my life. I've allowed sin. I've allowed some things to happen. I've allowed just lack of faithfulness, lack of obedience. Jesus doesn't shine. People do not see Jesus in me. Oh, today I hope that your prayer would be that Jesus could be seen in you. He wants to shine. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the past. Allow Jesus to shine in your life. There's a third part of this invitation this morning. This is very important. I want you to understand me this morning. For the next 5 nights, beginning tonight, we're going to share the most important message that this community and these children and teenagers need to hear. For the next 5 nights, Jesus is going to be glorified. Jesus is going to be honored. Jesus is going to be lifted up. And we're praying that through that the clearness and the simplicity of the message will go forth. And that by Wednesday night, boys and girls will come and trust Jesus. I'm hoping somebody gets saved tonight. Maybe tomorrow night. Maybe not wait till Wednesday night. But boy, by the time we get to Wednesday night, I hope it all breaks loose. But it won't happen unless we as a church come before God and say, God, I'm begging you for souls to be saved this week. I'm begging you that you'll save boys and girls, even moms and dads and guardians and grandparents who will hear the gospel this week. And if we care enough about the children of this community, by the way, the children of this church who are sitting here this morning, if we care enough about them, would you be willing to come down, and I know it's unusually decorated this morning, but this old-fashioned altar that looks like a cave entrance. Would you come down to the entrance of the cave this morning and get down on your knees and would you pray for the salvation of boys and girls this week? Would you pray for a move of God to take place in this church this week? When we sing this song, I'm going to invite you to come. If you need to be saved, you come and be saved. If you as a Christian need to get right with God in some area of your life to let Jesus shine, you come and do that. Get down on this altar and confess your sin. But I'm praying that many of you will come and get down on this altar and pray for the souls of boys and girls who will hear the gospel this week and pray that they'll be saved. Would you do that as we sing? Father, in Jesus' name, bless the message. May we respond in faith, believing this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, we're going to stand and sing. There comes a song that's very important about what we're going to do this week, and that is Send the Light. Would you stand?